You know, there's a number of moments in my life that I can remember, and I just needed to share this one again. This is a good moment. Chris Centeio was singing in a church in Penza, Russia, and he was singing with Val Rourke, and they were singing So You Would Come. I will never forget that moment back in 2005, and they were doing a duet, and it was just incredibly moving to see them singing. That's been one of my goals, to have some of our people go, and that was an opportunity to see them singing up there together, and it was very, it's one of those things, Chris, I will never forget. In a good way, Chris. In a good way. Amen? One of the greatest things you will do in your life is have the opportunity to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Slowly, surely, it's a process. Befriending them, inviting them, talking with them. At some point, coming to a point where you talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not something abstract, not something strange. No. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're privileged enough, and you will be, have the opportunity just to pray a simple prayer with them and lead them into heaven, eternity, because you were faithful with what you did. Amen? What a great thing to do. My next question is this. Now what? Now what do we do with them? And I know because I have spent time with many of you talking, you know, what's the next step? Where do we go from here? Now today we're going to talk about that because in our series, and this series is entitled God's Fix for Society, and we've been going through the book of Acts. Now this is all tied into our 60th anniversary. This church has been here by God's grace and God's grace alone for 60 years. And so what we thought we would do this fall is, and I've been doing this, and it'll take us to Christmas, is looking at the church, how it started. And what we have been reviewing are just a number of parts to how God started His church. Acts chapter 1 is God's revolution. If you can remember that message, we had three parts to God's revolution. God's going to revolutionize this world. He's going to use Jesus Christ, He's going to use His Holy Spirit, and He's going to use the church. And that was Acts chapter 1. And the church is you and me. He is going to use us. As we continued on, in chapter 2, we started right in with the whole issue of tongues. The Holy Spirit was given in Acts chapter 2. And in Acts 2, a strange thing happened. It has never happened like that again, recorded in Scripture, and I don't believe it will ever happen again like that. But the apostles were gathered together. The Spirit came on them. They spoke. They left the room and spoke in known languages. And really what that was the start of pushing the church out and going and starting the church in a variety of different areas. And we talked about tongues, and we looked at 5, 6 different criteria. So if it's tongues, is it New Testament tongues, whatever we experience in our life, we need to evaluate it by that. And that's where we were a couple of weeks ago as we discussed that. Then Peter stands up. First message. Peter had no training. There was no seminary. There really wasn't. The Holy Spirit came on him, and we looked at his message and talked about your first and your best message. What would it involve? What would the parts be? And we looked at that a couple of weeks ago before Dennis came and visited with us last week. And so at the end of that, the people said, what do we do? And we looked at that famous verse, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. And we talked about what does that actually mean? It doesn't sound exactly, it's just believe in Jesus Christ, right? Well, yes, but Peter, we looked at that verse, and then what happened? An amazing thing happens. 3,000 people at once come to faith in Christ. What did they do with them? What do we do with new believers? That's where we're going today. So the title for today's message is Helping People to Grow. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. Just six verses today. And as we continue in about, oh goodness, this is about the fifth message in this series. But it gives you kind of an overview of where we've been and what we are doing. Really, we're going to talk about basic discipleship. And as you're with me today, let's just start here. The most basic thing you can do after that person comes to faith in Christ is, number one, invite them to church. That is, if you want to put that down, there's not a blank for that. You invite them to church. Invite them to your group. Invite them to your ministry. Just get them to church. I mean, that's the most basic thing. What's the second thing? And it's not here. This is not on the outline or anything. The second thing is give them a Bible. Help them. Those are the two most basic things that we all can do. Invite them to church in some way. I mean, it's a church service, obviously, but, you know, there's so many different ways to do that. It's your privilege to do that. It's your responsibility to do that. That is basic 101 discipleship. All right, but where do we go from there? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Let's first of all read the passage, and let's talk about that and what that involves. All right. Verse 41, about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Okay, verse 42. Let's begin there. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by who? The apostles. Amazing time in the church, a time of signs and wonders. And they were doing amazing things. They were the message that they were giving by the Holy Spirit was being authenticated through miraculous signs. Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. In the Jerusalem church, we know from other parts of the scripture that this church actually struggled quite a bit with finances. It was actually a very poor church. Also, you have this time of the year where you have all these Jews from all over the place, and a whole lot of them came to faith in Christ. But you want them to stay there for a while they get grounded in their faith. You know, rather just go right back to where they're from. And so it's interesting what happened, verse 45. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Okay, interesting verse when we talk about this. And we look at this verse, you don't see this, and let me say this. Christians should always be that way. We should be willing to help. We should be, and we do. We have funds here to help out. We have ministries to help in a variety of ways. And so we should be, but it's amazing what was going on at that time in the church was at a different level. And you really don't see that in other examples of other churches, but in this church, when it was starting, they had a lot of problems and issues with poverty, a very poor church, a very poor area. And second, they had all these people, so they had to do something just to help them get grounded. And so this kind of activity was going on. Some very amazing stuff. Some very unique and exciting things were going on. All right, so what I'm going to do right now, again, we don't need to go to your outline yet. Let me talk to you about my adventure in discipleship. 1967, I was 9 years old. I know, I'm pretty old. I'm getting there. My parents were with an organization called the Navigators. And the Navigators did ministry in the context my parents were in with the U.S. military. And so my parents, my dad specifically, would go to Kadena Air Force Base, Fatima, Kaneohe, different military bases, Sukram, these are all on the island of Okinawa. They would work with the chaplains there. They would then, on different days, do different things and help out with the chapel ministry there. And they would then, at some point, bring them to our house for Bible studies and things like this. So I would see, even as a young boy, I would see a lot of people coming to faith in Christ, a lot of U.S. military. And it was interesting. What the navigators used primarily to do basic discipleship is they have what's called a wheel. And I've, in some of the classes I've taught here, they have a wheel. In the center of the wheel is a hub. And what they would do is talk about four spokes. And these four spokes would be keys to your walk with God. The spoke going up from the center would be prayer. You have to have a prayer life. The spoke going down would be the Word of God. So you'd have the Word and prayer. You'd have to have an intake of God's Word. Then the two side spokes were fellowship. On one side, you've got to have fellowship with people. The other side was evangelism. And they used this model, the Word, prayer, fellowship, evangelism. And again, going back to the whole Russia thing, that we have taken this and translated the different spokes, and different people, Chris and Teo did this, Chris Baldwin did this, I did this when we were over there, we would teach basic discipleship with what is called the wheel illustration. It's actually a very good illustration and can be very helpful. But as you continue to walk with God, you want to find out more. The next thing I can remember is a couple years later, there's a guy named Paul Little. He wrote a book called How to Give Away Your Faith. This book is from the 70s. Wild and crazy decade. Anyway, the 70s, and as we talk about this, the last chapter of this, most of it is evangelism and different things and very helpful things, but the last chapter is talking about discipleship. They talk about Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. And that is this book. And I remember reading this book, and I was probably 12-ish, something like that. Then we go a few more years. A few more years after that, I come across a book written by a man named Francis Cosgrove. He is a navigator staff, and I knew him. In fact, he was in Japan when my parents were in Okinawa. And I can remember, this is cool, we would go to conferences, and my brother and I would fly up to Japan with our parents, and usually about 75 military. And they would go up there for seminars and conferences and things like that. And so there was a book called Essentials of New Life. I remember picking this up. This has some very helpful things in it, talking about a variety of parts in our Christian life. And then he continued on with Essentials of Discipleship. And so, again, we have an emphasis on learning and walking with God and following Him. Fast forward again, now to seminary. Interesting. As you read God's Word, there are things you want to know about God's Word. First of all, you want to know what did they do, and that's where we're at this morning. We're going to look at the foundational keys in a few minutes. But what did they do, and then what other things, as you continue to read God's Word, do we need to have people understand in their discipleship, in their walk with God? And so one of the things I came up with, and after seminary going into the ministry, was a class called Firm Foundation. I have taught Firm Foundation here, and many of you have been through it. Firm Foundation is this passage amplified, is what that class is. But it's designed for anybody. It's not just for new believers. I like doing this for people coming to the church. The second class that I had, and we haven't done it as much recently, is called Fundamentals of the Faith. It is an expansion. It is 12 weeks. It is more information. It's actually quite challenging and designed to be that way. Fundamentals of the faith. Then how do you join a church? All right, so what do we have in our church? We have classes 101 designed for church membership. When you go to a church, you want to find out what the church believes by way of doctrine. You want to find out what they believe in terms of philosophy. And I'm pleased this morning just to stand up here and to hear John talk about reaching our community. I mean, I can say that all the time, folks, but until you say it and you believe it, that's what we're fighting. And we're committed to doing those kind of events and outreach. That's one of the foundations. What are the purposes of our church? We have five purposes. The eternal purposes of God. We go through this in class 101. Membership, you go through that class. Class 201 are five things every believer needs to do. Five things you must do in your walk with God. And in class 201, we talk about that. Then class 301 is spiritual gifts, a fairly misunderstood area. Spiritual gifts. In addition to that, we talk about talents, abilities, those kind of things. You know, singing is not a spiritual gift. It's not. It's a natural talent. It's an ability. Some of us have it. Some of us don't. Amen? Amen. We can all make what, though? A joyful noise. All right, good. But a spiritual gift is not singing. Administration is a spiritual gift. And we study the list in the Bible of spiritual gifts and talk about how to put these together. And that is class 301. Class 401 is evangelism and discipleship, just refining those skills in your walk with God. And that's class 401. These are the things, and this is kind of where I've come to, till we get to the point, this is not in your program, but this is called Next Steps at Lake Hill Community Church. And we have first step, second step, third step, that we let you evaluate periodically where you're at, and then when you have an open place on these lists, that's your next step. And that's your next part of discipleship and what you need to do. And that's where my journey has come in discipleship. And I love the foundation of the wheel illustration and things like that, but there is much more to God's Word and many more things as a Christian you need to know and understand and put into practice. That's the introduction to the message today. I heard Dennis went to about 10 till last week. I think I could beat him, huh? No, I don't think so. All right, so here we go. On our outlines now. On our outlines. Our church must. Okay? Now what I'm doing is going back to verse 41 and 42. We're going to give you five things, and we're going to see what they did. We're going to briefly talk about them and go from there. Okay, our church must, one, baptize people. Baptize people. One of the functions of the church. And it says in verse 42, they baptize people. And our church does this in a variety of ways. We have a baptistry, a big word for me to say, behind the screen here we use occasionally. We have been to Algrim's swimming pool, even when they didn't heat the water. We have been to Canyon Lake. We have been to a variety of places to baptize people. We do not believe what is called baptismal regeneration. Big word. There are people that believe you are regenerated or you are saved by being baptized. We do not believe in baptismal regeneration. We believe that baptism is a step of obedience to the Lord in our walk with Him. And we want to be baptized because it's a command to follow. So they baptize people. We must baptize people. Number two, teach the Bible. It talks about the apostles' doctrine here in the statement. But really, it's the idea of teaching the Bible. And there are different aspects of this. One of them is in the New Testament church, they had to teach correct doctrine. They did. They were just starting. And they didn't have a lot of information. Interesting, the correct doctrine that they focused in on was who Jesus Christ is and what He has done. And that's where they started. Teaching the Bible has to involve that. Now, it's interesting. When I prayed about what we would do this fall and doing this series in Acts, I have been, even last week and part of last weekend, I was spending time looking from January till, you know that Easter is at the end of April? Way, way, way late this year. In 2011. It's the end of April. Anyway, one of the things that we need to do, and just being in this message, is that we need to do something with a gospel. I have done messages from the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we will start and do some of the life of Jesus Christ. And one of the convictions that came to me in preparing this message was teach the Bible, but teach about Jesus Christ. And I haven't done a lot of that, and that's one thing I need to do. And so, as we continue on, we'll do that. We teach the Bible in two ways here. One is verse by verse. Verse by verse is what we're doing today. Acts 2, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, and 47. That is one way. There are other ways I have taught and will continue to teach this way is verse with verse, where I pull a verse out of 1 Corinthians that talks, let's just talk about the Holy Spirit. He illuminates, He empowers, He guides. In order to do a study like that, you have to pull a verse from different parts of the New Testament. That is verse with verse. And we do both. And that we are committed to doing both. But I love going through some of these passages like we are now, because you're going to sit down and read Acts and just, you know, because most of when we read the Bible, we're reading right through. And it helps to be able to do that. All right, so teaching the Bible involves that. Next, provide fellowship. Provide fellowship. That is one of the things. We were working on that today before the service began. I had an unruly group of people in my office talking about the end of the year and getting their ideas. So anyway, I was working with some people this morning and I will continue to work with them. God bless them all. All right. Provide fellowship. All right, next, observe communion. Observe communion. Now, I grew up in what is called a parachurch organization. The Navigators are not a church. They come alongside the church to help the church. One of the greatest things I appreciate from my mom and dad, though, is that they always had us in church. Sometimes, and this is, but it does happen, if you have a parachurch organization where you got people that hardly ever go to church because they're serving God doing the parachurch thing, which is good, but I love the fact that my parents modeled for me, we will be in church. We will serve God. We don't go do our own thing. We tie in with the church. And I am so grateful for Ken and Doris Metzger's example in that. And let me tell you what, we have some people in this church that are with a parachurch organization. Chris and Colleen. There's not a couple that's more involved in this church than they are. And yet they serve. He serves. They serve in parachurch ministry. But they are doing it right because they are involved in the local church. And it's interesting, in a parachurch organization, most of them don't baptize people. Most of them don't observe communion. They just don't. But the church does. Some of the differences and good things. Finally, prayer. Prayer. And prayer. That would be number five, prayer. There we go. All right, here are the things that come out of these verses. And I appreciate getting the requests and answers and things. You can get on that. If you are not on an email list to get prayer requests from our church, Edwina, raise your hand. She will help you. Go see her. Give her your address, your email address. Get on the list. You need to be on that. This is part of this. These are... what did you say? Yes, they do. There we go. Get on her list. All right. Baptize people, teach the Bible, provide fellowship, observe communion, and pray. This is what you do. This is what you teach people. This is what the first century church did. It's good enough for them, so it's good enough for us. It is. This is what you do. And you have to have a church to do this and to help out. All right, let's see what else. Go back to your passage here. And, all right. There we go. Now, how did this thing turn sideways? It's not supposed to be that. All right. Here we go. So much for electronic technology. This thing never turns sideways. This is a e-reader. I love this thing. I have about 15 books on here, and the Bible is on here. And this is such a neat thing. But see how it's turned sideways? It's never done that before. So anyway, one of those Holy Spirit. Now, it's a Holy Spirit thing, I'm telling you. All this kind of stuff is happening. But I'm reading it sideways now, so it's all good. All right. Would you go with me to verse 44? All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. All right, now verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in what? Temple courts. Temple courts would be some kind of a large group meeting. For them, it was a large group meeting. And then they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Okay, interesting what they did. All right, so on your outline, believers must. Okay, first of all, temple courts. Let's go ahead, bring that next one up, would you, Kathy? Faithfully attend church. Yeah, faithfully attend church. I just want you to know that this message was planned months and months ago, okay? Yeah, okay. Anyway, faithfully attend church. And what they did in that day is they had large group meetings in what it called at the temple, the tabernacle, but more the temple at this point, and they gathered together, and in that setting, they accomplished many things. But in a setting like this, most of the time I'm talking, and some of you guys are talking to a lot during the service, I just wanted to point that out. No, I'm kidding. But there's not much fellowship, and this time is designed for being teaching, but there has to be more than that and outside of this meeting. So what did they do? They met in houses. So the second part of this is believers must faithfully attend church, and second, believers must have a small group. They must find a small group. Help me out back there. There we go. Find a small group. All right, so here we have temple courts, large group, house-to-house, small group. Large, small. A church has to grow bigger and smaller at the same time. Large, small. Large, small. That is the way they did it in the New Testament. It's interesting. Folks, and I don't have a problem with Sunday school, but they don't have Sunday school, interestingly enough, the way we have it today. That is a cultural thing we've done. Is there anything wrong with Sunday school? No. But they didn't do it in that day as we do it today. I don't have a problem with people meeting on Sunday morning and having Bible study and doing that. I'm just telling you, this is what they did when they started the church, the New Testament church. They met together, they'd go for a big service, then they would break away and meet later on, house to house. Small group. You've got to have some kind of a small group. You have to. You're designed to both take in God's word and also to give out God's word. Both ways. This is what they did in the New Testament. All right, so discipleship. One of the most exciting things you can do. All right, let's take them to the last screen. The last screen is this. Are you balanced in your Christian life and in your Christian walk? With your discipleship, we have five areas. We also have a number of things with next steps in our church. What you're looking for in your walk with God is to be balanced, is to have input and to have service in a variety of different areas. See, here's the problem. Let me go back to my wheel illustration, and we would talk about this. You think of four spokes on a wheel. And for most people, to spend some time reading God's word, that's good. That would be one of those spokes. And some time in prayer to God, that's good. Going to the side spokes, maybe evangelism, that's really a tough one, but I'm trying to do it, but I'm not doing that much. But then what typically happens is we get a big old spoke like this of fellowship. And so you get a wheel that doesn't look like a wheel. It's got a big wood-a-boom, wood-a-boom. That means it's out of round. you want to do is keep your wheel in round, balance. And that's what we try and do as a church. And we have different opportunities. And the next opportunity is the harvest party. And that is this Saturday. And on the heels of that, if you can believe it, we're going to be in November. November is Thanksgiving. You'll have another opportunity you'll be hearing about shortly to help out in one of our ministries, Celebrate Recovery, with their Feeding the Community kind of dinner that they have. And we'll have opportunities for us to be involved there. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you use us, that you have us as your servants. Lord, thank you for the privilege of talking to people about you. And then more than that, Lord, having the opportunity to have them trust you and then to walk with people side by side. I pray that as we continue to walk with you, grow with you, you will guide and direct us. These five steps are very important, and I pray that as a church that we'll continue to teach in these five areas, to help equip people to minister in these five areas. We praise you and thank you for the privilege that is ours in you. Thank you that we can give and we do that gratefully. In Jesus' name, amen.